If you would, turn in your Bibles to chapter 3. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We've been looking at the book of Ephesians. One word can summarize the book of Ephesians. The church. The call of the church, chapters 1 through 3, and then how the church should behave, 4 through 6. We've been shocking you. We found out that the church is a spiritual organism, not a building. That God had planned the church from eternity past. And that He is working out that plan to bring many to His name. You were part of that plan. Buildings weren't a part of that plan. Many churches have fallen down, decayed, and gone into ruin. Buildings aren't, but God has planned people. We've been looking now at chapter 3, where we're finding out that for the Jewish mind, the church is a mystery. In reference to the Jewish mind and the Old Testament, Paul said the church is a mystery. And we said that the word mystery, the last time we talked, was something that was not fully understood. The church in the Old Testament, God's people did not fully understand one particular thing. And that is found in chapter 3, verse 6. What was the mystery of the church in the Old Testament? To be specific, I read the New American Standard. I don't know what you have. The mystery is that Gentiles are, and please note, in the New American Standard, a special term that you need to note, you should circle them. Fellow heirs, fellow members, fellow partakers. What does your translation use? Huh? Anybody have King James? What does it say? How about NIV? Just heirs. Interesting. Well, it's more than just heirs. The word fellow heirs in the translation means this. Are you ready? Full equality in God's sight. That was the mystery. Now, let's talk about something. Inheritance. How many of you have ever received inheritance from your relatives? Anybody? I know of a circumstance in which many times in inheritance, can families fight, but because it involves what in an inheritance? Money, 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 money. Fiddler on the Roof. If I Were a Rich Man. Money. I've known families when you have siblings. I know a circumstance in which two sisters ended up not talking with each other because one sister received it all and the other sister got nothing. Anybody? I know, matter of fact, I know many situations as a pastor where siblings, when it comes to inheritance, end up getting the short end and there's not equality inheritance, huh? Isn't it funny how families, blood is thicker than water except when it comes to money? Well, what Paul is saying here is, listen to me now, the mystery for the Jewish people was that they were given by God, the church is given by God, equality in inheritance with the Jews. And this was something that was hard for Jewish believers in Jesus to realize. And I want to look at this. In the Old Testament, now I want somebody to do this. In the Old Testament, God called the Jewish people. as a people to himself. He called them, he separated them, and made them into a nation. And all of the other nations, what do you see in the Old Testament about all those other nations? What do you see? Pagan, corrupt. And he called out the Jewish people to be his people. Somebody read for me Deuteronomy 14. Let me go make sure I get the right verse. Deuteronomy 14:2. Here's what God told the Jewish people. Who's got Deuteronomy 14:2? What? Go ahead. So he told the Old Testament people that you are what, Kelly? He called them to bring in Messiah. You're a holy people. You are special. You are chosen. And when Jewish people looked around, in every place they were, what did they see? Nothing but a bunch of corrupt, wicked, downfallen, idolatrous people. Somebody read for me. Isaiah 62:12. Who will read Isaiah 62:12? Wow, they were told that over and over and over again. I got more verses. Hang on, let me give you another one. Leviticus 11. Let me find it. I have it written, but Leviticus 11. 44. Who's got Leviticus 11, 44? Somebody read for me, thank you, Willie, Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. So for over and over again, what you're hearing are these verses that the Jewish people heard, that they were chosen a royal, holy nation, a people for God's own possession for 1,500 years. And suddenly Messiah comes. And they found something strange going on. That in Jesus' church, not only were Jews believing, but in Jesus' church, even more Gentiles were believing. And this gripped them with confusion. Now, remember, for 1,500 years, how much were the Jews? Holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You're a priesthood to me, and you're the chosen people. And all of a sudden, when Messiah comes and proclaims, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, that the nation itself kills their Messiah. And in the early church, there were not only Jews who believed in Jesus, but even greater amounts of what? And the Jews didn't know what to do with all of this because they had been told for 1,500 years, you are the chosen nation, a royal priesthood, you're the ones, and all of a sudden, something's happened. And so go to Acts 15. Now go to Acts 15. And I want to show you something as they were struggling with this. We haven't preached through Acts, but by Acts 15, God's people, the church, are not only Jewish ethnically, but they're loaded overwhelmingly with non-Jews. What do you do? You got to understand from the Jewish point of view. You've been told you're chosen, a holy nation. Messiah comes, the nation kills their Messiah. And all of a sudden they're loaded with Gentiles. They're following Jesus. And they don't know what to do with it. So they have to have what any good group would do. They have a sit down. What do we do? Because the church in Caesarea, Jerusalem now, the church in Jerusalem, mostly Jewish. But above Jerusalem, it's mostly Gentiles. And for 1,500 years, you know what the Jewish experience with Gentiles was? Or a bunch of pagan idolaters that had all of these weird stories of gods. They were corrupt. I mean, we read the story in Genesis about those Gentiles and what they did. All of a sudden now, they're loaded with these Gentiles that are believing in the Jewish Messiah. What do we do? So Paul has a sit down and they decide. And in verse 5 of Acts 15, the Jerusalem church comes together and the first group to speak are the Pharisees who believed in Jesus. Did you know that there were a bunch of fundamentalists that believed in Jesus? By the time of Acts 15, the Pharisees. What does the word Pharisee mean? Does anybody know? Pious, separated ones. They wouldn't touch you for fear that they would be defiled and couldn't go to the temple. Especially Pharisees, you don't dare touch a Gentile, let alone a non-observant Jew. All of a sudden, they're surrounded with what? Goy, dogs, cattle. They're believing in Jesus. What do we do? So the Pharisee fundamentalists, you know fundamentalists, you know how I talk. We believe, by the way, if you're visiting in the fundamentals of the faith, I just don't like the culture of fundamentalism. It's unkind and unloving. The Pharisees that gave Jesus such a hard time, now they believe in him. By the way, that shows you the power of the resurrection proofs. That the enemies of Jesus are turning to him, these Pharisees. And they say this, here's what we need to do with these Gentiles. Let's do this. We must circumcise them. I'm sure that went over well with the Gentiles that were sitting there, all the guys that weren't circumcised. We're adults here, right? So the Pharisee grabs a knife. We'll circumcise them. What you talking about? I got in trouble at the library at Biola. Did I tell you this? When I was first dating Sandy, I changed the word. It said circulation desk right there at the front of the Biola library. I changed it with whiteout to circumcision. She got so mad at me. My response was the whole nation of Israel was built off of that. Let's not be so prudish. So the Pharisees say, what do we do with all these goy dogs that are believing in? Oh, what do we do? They pull out a knife. Let's circumcise them and let's make them do this. Observe the law of Moses. That means this for all you Gentiles. Ready? You don't work on Friday evening to Saturday evening. You can't eat lobster or shrimp. By the way, I gave up on lobster and shrimp most of all because I found out they were water bugs. If your hubby was here, they're water bugs that have the skeleton on the outside, but they're water bugs. I mean, and then caviar, fish eggs. I mean, the wealthy somehow convince themselves that water bugs and fish eggs are somehow glamorous. I don't know. But so what this meant was you had to get under the law of Moses, which, believe me, was no fun. So what do the fundamentalists want? What the fundamentalists always like? Tradition. Rules. So they have to have this discussion because they're not expecting all of these Gentiles. What do we do with them? Now, today, you know, you're looking, well, what's the matter here? There's only There's hardly any Jewish people in our congregation at all. Well, to you now, it's normal for Jewish people not to be in the church. But in this day, they were trying to say, what do they do with all of these like us? This is a mystery to them. What do we do? So he goes and says, and the apostles and the elders came together, and they're all Jewish, and after there had been much debate, I'll tell you what, you know what that means in verse 7, much debate? Boy, was that a shouting match. I'll bet you that was a shouting match, because that's what good religious people will do. Religious people are? Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that by the mouth of the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. How do you like that? This was part of God's plan. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as they all did us. Now, you remember what the apostles wanted to do to the Samaritans? Do you remember that story in Luke chapter 9? We aren't there yet, but we're getting there for you in Sunday school. Jesus goes through a village of Samaritans. They're at least half Jewish, but they say, Jesus, we don't want you cutting through our village. So what does James and John and Peter and the other disciples tell Jesus? Lord, let's what? Let's burn them with fire. And that was the Jewish attitude even toward... Because look, let's be honest. You look at the Gentiles and all they were a bunch of pagan idolaters that really were really awful in terms of the things that they did. And the Jewish people weren't used to this kind of culture. Lord, let's just burn them with fire. But Jesus said, no, I want to save them. And he says here, Lord, you chose to give him the Holy Spirit. Cornelius. I love the story of Cornelius in Acts 10. The Lord appears to Peter. Peter's taking a nap on top, the roof. And the Lord appears to Peter with a ham sandwich. No kidding. And he says to Peter, Peter, I fixed you lunch. Here's a ham sandwich. Peter goes, man, Lord, I'm not going to eat that. I'm Jewish. I don't eat that. That's a ham sandwich. And what does Jesus tell him? What I declare clean, so good. Enjoy your pork barbecue. God declared it clean. And what he was saying to Peter was the Gentiles are to be saved, not to be nuked with fire. And finally, he goes to Cornelius, and a complete Gentile, uncircumcised, is born again. So Peter knows this, and he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing them by faith. Now there is the mystery. Lord, 1,500 years, we've walked with you, we've been your people, and now what do you do? Get ready for this. You made no distinction between us and them. What did we read? What's the word that began with an F in Ephesians? Fellow. The word fellow means equal. Have you ever been divided in a family over inheritance? What this is saying is that even after all the paganism of the Gentiles and everything else, God in his plan for Messiah said, I'm going to give, it's going to be a 50-50 split. I think that's why they beat Paul up. You go into a Jewish city, I got wonderful news. God has given the Gentiles a 50-50 split with us. Stone him. I can see it. And they had a reason for it, because most of, you go into Rome and you walk and they have all these idolatrous things and this horrible culture, and all of a sudden God makes them join heirs. I don't like this. And so look what they say here. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test? Verse 10 of Acts 15, upon the neck of the disciples, a yoke which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. You know what he's referring to? Living under the Mosaic Law. How would you like to be? Precious Jewish people had to live under the Mosaic Law. That's why Habakkuk said the just shall live by what? Faith. They couldn't keep it. It was designed, as Paul said, to show the Jews that they couldn't measure up. Though they thought, many of them thought they were measuring up. But they weren't. None of us can keep it. So why do you fundamentalists want to put, you Pharisees in verse 5, want to put them under that yoke? That's why you don't want to be an Old Testament Christian. You know why? You know what they did in the Old Testament, the people that did bad things? What'd they do? And Jesus said to them, you who are without sin may cast the first stone. So careful there with your judgment. The one who judges will get the first stone. And the multitude kept silent. But we believe we are saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus in the very same way that they are. Whoa! Equality! That's the mystery. The mystery was they found out God in eternity past. Guess what? Not only were the Jews chosen, Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 1, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Remember your roots, but God gave you an equal inheritance. You are the chosen people. Now they're deciding this. And all the multitude kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles. Guess what? God had done signs and wonders among the Jews during Jesus, and now He was doing the signs and wonders among the Gentiles, just exactly like the Jewish people, complete equality. Then James gets up. And by the way, see James? This is Jesus' brother, half-brother, Mary's son, Joseph's son, but Jesus wasn't Joseph's son. This is his half-brother. By the way, in Jewish tradition, the oldest son took care of the family. So it isn't Peter that was the head of the Jerusalem church. It's James, because James was Jesus' brother. James gets up, and Jesus' brother now is going to settle the issue. James answered and said, "Brethren, listen to me. Simeon," and he must have been a formal guy because Peter was rocky, and he calls him by his formal name of Simeon, "has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his own name." And then he does this. This is an amazing thing. He quotes the Old Testament that shows, listen to me, this shouldn't have been a surprise to us. What's the mystery? That God would take them, make those dirty, stinking, idolatrous, pork-loving Gentiles, they give them an equal inheritance with us? And look what he says. He quotes Amos 9, 11, and 12. "With this the prophets agree. After these things," and he's quoting Amos 9, 11, and 12, "I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen." All right, by that time, the tabernacle of David had fallen. What does that mean? The Jewish people as a whole were not believing in Jesus. It had fallen. And he says this, "And I will rebuild its ruins, and I'm going to restore it." And how is God rebuilding the tabernacle of David? Look what it says. "In order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name." So how is God rebuilding the tabernacle of David? By including you. Wait, I'm not Jewish. No. He's rebuilding the tabernacle of David by including people who were at one time not his people to rebuild this because of the rejection by the Old Testament chosen people. We should expect this, says the Lord who makes these things known from old. Now, to go back, I want you to go to 1 Peter, chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And now you're going to know something, how, first of all, this book is written by Peter. Peter's the one that got up and said, Simeon, you know, they called him Simeon in Acts 15. Look what Peter does. He's writing a book to the church. Oh, he's not writing to a building, by the way. He's writing to people. And he tells the church, which is probably composed mostly by his time when he wrote this, mostly of Gentiles, maybe a few Jews, but he's writing the church. And here is what he tells the church. "But you," the "you" is the church, "are a chosen race." By the way, you just read this at the beginning of my sermon. Do you remember that? Those of you who read this, that was said of the Jews in the Old Testament. Guess what it's now saying? It's saying to everybody in the church in the New Testament, you're a chosen race. "A royal priesthood." in the Old Testament, that was applied to the Jews. In the New Testament, it's applied to Jesus' church. A holy nation in the Old Testament applied to the Jews. In the New Testament, it's applied to both Jews and Gentiles in the church. A people for God's own possession. In the Old Testament, that was applied to the Jews. In the New Testament, it's applied to mostly the Gentiles of the church. It's a combination of all. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, for you were once not a people. That's you Gentiles. But now you are the people of God. So what happens? What makes you chosen? God's sovereign plan of belief in Jesus Christ as Messiah. And apart from Jesus, this cannot now be said. And if anybody doesn't believe in Jesus, this does not apply. So who are the chosen people? It's the church, consisting of Jews and Gentiles who have come together. And now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Now you see the mystery. Ephesians chapter 2, the mystery not revealed in verse 5 to other generations. The mystery of Christ, verse 4, not revealed, verse 5. To be specific, it isn't the inclusion of the Gentiles, but Jewish people thought they would get a third or a quarter inheritance maybe. But the mystery was God gave them what? A full inheritance. Everything that was promised to God's people in the Old Testament, God's people who follow Jesus in the New are given full equality. Everything that is Christ's is yours in Christ, whether you be Jew or Gentile. You are the chosen people. From eternity past, God did not decide in inheritance to discriminate. He has decided to lavish whatever comes. Now, this means this. Whatever comes when Jesus returns and He inaugurates His kingdom, you are going to be a joint heir of everything that God has planned in that kingdom. So you've got to remember that you're thinking incorrectly because of preachers. If someone says to you, who are the chosen people? You are. Apart from Jesus Christ, no one is chosen. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, this does not apply. And that was the mystery. And I can understand this Jewish mystery. You've been scattered throughout the Roman Empire. The Old Testament called you the chosen people. You've seen your people reject Jesus, and you've seen all of these dirty, stinking, idolatrous Gentiles. And now the wonderful news for the Gentiles is God's going to make them, give them an equal inheritance with Jesus. Well, Lord, we've been your people since the beginning. You're going to make these other dogs? Yeah. Remember when Jesus told the parable about inheritance and somebody, the prodigal son, Lord, we've been in the older brother said of the prodigal son, Lord, we've been with you, and you're going to give him more than me. Remember that? That's where Jesus was in about things like this. And that's the great mystery. The church, not so much a mystery, but they thought it would be all Jewish. God decided, and thank God for God's mercy, He's going to save all, make them joint heirs. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members, fellow partakers of the promised in Messiah Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. And here's what I love about this. You know, Paul was a Pharisee. Did you know that? He was a fundamentalist before he came to Jesus. And as a fundamentalist, what do fundamentalist religious people, whether you be Christian fundamentalist, Jewish fundamentalist, or Arab fundamentalist, what do fundamentalists love to do? Huh? Kill. Isn't that odd? Isn't that terrible? Paul, we're going to find out next week, he was a fundamentalist. And he was killing. He killed Stephen. God got a hold of him. And turning that man from a heart of hate, God got him born again. And now he's rejoicing that you dogs, me dog, are given equality. And that's what he wants. Remember when he said in chapter 1, I pray that God may open your heart to understand the greatness of this revelation? That this is what he wanted you, the Gentiles, to understand was, listen to me, you're not inferior. You're completely equal. Joint heir, fellow heir. The word should be equal, 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 instead of fellow, fellow, fellow. And that's the marvelous nature of God's grace. God wants to save everybody who trusts in the name of Jesus.